Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're very welcome back. If our messages were anything to go by, Emma Kenny, a psychologist, has a second potential series after her serial killer show on Is My Boss a Psychopath? But that show is on June 7th in Vicar Street, and the tickets are available at ticketmaster.ie or emmakennytv.com. That's emmakennytv.com. Fascinating conversation, and lots of you very interested in that. But now to something completely different, because we're going to look at a travel issue. We don't often think of tourism as a political issue, but this weekend's election for mayor in the Catalan capital, Barcelona, hinged directly on tourism, with one campaign aiming to halve the number of cruise day trippers in the summer months. The city has also shut down souvenir shops and 6,000 tourist flats. As over-tourism threatens some cities, those that are less explored can often offer a much better trip away. Here to tell us where to go is travel writer and consultant John O'Callaghan. You're very, very welcome, John.
Thank you very much. Good to be chatting to you.
Yeah, look, some cities have really suffered from being over-visited, haven't they? I'm thinking of places like Venice, for example.
Yeah, they have. It's kind of, you know, we had that pause, didn't we, where nobody was going anywhere. But if we think back to pre-pandemic times, this story rolls around every summer. And the fact that it rolls around every summer is due to the fact that that's why when everyone is going on holidays. But the crowds are very easily avoided if people were, you know, we're very lucky in Ireland being able to get to all these major cities for a long weekend throughout the year. Something like 400,000 cruise passengers disembark in Barcelona every month, which is astronomical. It's not at all surprising that people are a little bit resentful about that encroachment on their city. But that's from May to September or thereabouts. If you go in March, you can still explore these wonderful places. I would still advise people to go to Venice and the like. It's certainly worth visiting, you know?
Yeah. So is it perhaps maybe just a question of scheduling? Like the thought of not going to a city like Barcelona or Venice again would be really, really unfortunate.
I think, you know, if you have the financial means to do so, you should visit Venice once in your lifetime. It's an Italian fairy tale that's unlike anywhere else on the planet, and it's about 2.5 hour flight from Dublin. So, you know, with Ryanair, you could probably get there for 80 quid return or thereabouts. But we do have the luxury. It's the luxury of going there maybe in April or October, having wonderful weather minus the crowds. It's amazing to me that people would choose of their own volition to go there in July when it's 40 degrees and packed for cruise passengers and tour groups from China and the rest of Asia and America and all the rest of it, you know?
Yeah, and obviously it's the prior reputation sometimes of these great cities that attracts us there. But a lot of those cities, their reputation has changed, particularly in the last, you know, decade or so. You know, I'm just kind of thinking of, you know, even places in the US like San Francisco.
That's a really good example, and we can have this romanticized view of places that we maybe visited in our past when we were backpacking or on a budget trip and want to go back and experience it a little bit more wholesomely and fully. But San Francisco is having severe problems now with economic deprivation, and they have these encampments throughout the city where homeless people and people in dire straits are unfortunately forced to live. So the reports I'm hearing from San Francisco are terrible at the moment, and it really shouldn't be added to anyone's must-visit list for the foreseeable future. You also have major cities that are quite attractive at some times of the year, like Bangkok. It's very exciting, amazing food, a very distinct culture, but it's plagued by extreme pollution for much of the winter period, so bad that it's actually unhealthy to go outdoors at all. I was there in January myself, and locals have an app telling them how detrimental it is to step outside, and it was really the most polluted city in the world at that point, I believe, or certainly in the top two or three.
Before you take us to some alternatives abroad, what do you think?
It's a bit negative
before
so far,
you bring us
it?
To alternative cities, what do you think of Irish cities or destinations?
Irish cities, you know, I live in London at the moment, and I have to say Dublin, I think, has some work to do on its broader global reputation. Public transport is obviously a mess. It's extremely expensive, and much of its charm is dependent on engaging with locals who are extremely friendly and lovely to deal with, and that's a huge selling point that we have. But I think the expense is a factor that is making it a deterrent for people more generally. I'm from Galway myself. I think that's really vibrant culturally. It's a gateway like the beautiful scenery of Connemara and so on, you can get to Arran quite easily. I think Ireland cities have a great opportunity to market the landscapes around them as an additional component you can add. And for domestic travel, of course, we've got lots of great places on our doorstep, and the food has improved so significantly over the last decade, as you know, and the hotel accommodation is much better as well. So we've got lots to be proud of, but lots of work to do as well, I think.
It's interesting just speaking to you because the Sunday Times Ireland edition is reporting this morning that some lesser known parts of Italy, Greece and Africa have become popular among Irish holiday makers who are seeking a luxurious experience away from some of the traditional hotspots, which is interesting. But for you, if we're looking for alternatives to much visited cities, what are your top three?
Well, I would say, firstly, as we just said, if you want to visit Venice, visit Venice. There's no better place than Venice if you want that type of experience. But Europe as a whole is open to us entirely. So a great destination that I would recommend, for example, would be Tromso. That's a little less obvious. It's in the Arctic Circle in northern Norway. So if you visit in the dead of winter or the height of summer, you have two entirely different experiences. So when I was there in December myself, it would be dark by midday completely. You had these beautiful sunsets. The sunrise and the sunset would merge from 11 to midday and then it'd be dark again. You'd see the northern lights, incredible night skies at 2 p.m., these deep drifts of snow everywhere. We went snowmobiling and dog sledding and just had an amazing winter escapade. And then if you go back in summer, it's daylight 24 hours. You'll be out at 3 a.m. and you'll see people gardening or painting their houses, you know, and then you go hiking, cycling, see all the wildflowers and things like that. So it's a great city experience with all the cultural components you'd expect, but surrounded by the most magnificent landscapes, and it's entirely
so
different from Tromso, one part of the year to the next.
Tromso in Norway. Nothing will drag me away from Berlin, but if you had to convince me, what would it be?
Well, I used to live in Berlin, so I'm a big fan as well. But when we talk about over tourism, it's another city that's kind of losing a little bit of its allure as a result of that. But I'm a big fan of Hamburg as well, which is very, very sophisticated. It's quite wealthy, so the concentration they have of cultural attractions is very pronounced as well. And then as a juxtaposition of that, you have something called the Reeperbahn, which is this somewhat salacious avenue with lots of bars and clubs that go on all night. And it's a nice juxtaposition as well. And German people are extremely hospitable and don't really get the plaudits they deserve for making tourists welcome.
What about Poland?
Poland,
where would you go?
Great. You know, we're obviously all very, very conscious. Well, I think there's many great options there. And what's really nice about it at the moment is when we're all a bit more financially considerate with our own circumstances is that it's extremely good value still. And actually, that's another good thing about coming from Ireland, isn't it? That when we go abroad, we tend to find almost everywhere cheaper. So a good spot if you're going as an alternative to Krakow or Warsaw would be Gdansk, which is this beautiful medieval city with these gorgeous, colorful terraced homes that are really magnificent cobble streets, great pedestrian zones. It's all on the waterfront, fantastic seafood restaurants, and very, very affordable again with Ryanair flights going straight from Dublin.
What about capital cities in Europe that we can go to without breaking the bank?
Well, Valletta is another good option. I don't know if you've been to Malta yourself, have you?
No, I haven't at all. It's quite similar to us, is it, in terms of population size? But I'm tempted by the amount of sunny days they have a year, though.
They get over 300 days of sun a year. So you can imagine when it's March for us and we haven't seen blue skies in months, it's a really nice break to take. And actually, the population is only about 400,000 people. And it's quite far removed from most people's travel itineraries as well, which is great. So you can really have a lot of space to yourself. And the capital, Valletta, is one of the tiniest and prettiest in all of Europe. It's on the hillside, lots of cobble streets, again, with outdoor terrace seating, really cheap Aperol spritz to enjoy in the sun. It's St. John's Co-Cathedral. It's this gilded 16th century masterpiece that's got its own Caravaggio inside, you know. So you're just surrounded by beauty, very, very affordable again, right on the water at all times. And you're very likely to have amazing sunshine whenever you visit.
One of the places during the last boom where Irish money found itself winding up in and people buying properties, etc., was in the very, very glamorous destination of Montenegro, and including in areas around Podgorica. Have you been there? Do you like it? Is it somewhere you'd recommend?
Well, yeah, I'm actually just back from a 2-week trip through the Balkans, and I went to Serbia, Montenegro and Albania. And I have to say, I have rarely despise the city as much as I hate it, Podgorica.
Oh, tell us how you really feel, John. Why did you hate it? It's got those beautiful, you know, all of those kind of beautiful mountains and waterways. Why did you not like it?
Well, as soon as you said beautiful, I realized you'd never been to Podgorica.
I've seen the pictures.
So the country itself, the country itself is a little bit different from the capital city. I had read frequently that it was
all those fjords. That's what I've seen the pictures of. All those beautiful fjords.
Yeah, they're not at all apparent in Podgorica, which is in the central wildlands of the country. It was heavily bombed during World War II, unfortunately, and the town planners who built whatever replaced it in its wake really had, they imposed this aesthetic depravity on the unfortunate citizens who lived there. It just had the most miserable, dismal atmosphere. Unfortunately, I felt very sorry for people there, but the welcome was ice cold. They don't welcome tourists. Food was terrible. There's nothing to do or see. So if anyone's planning a trip to Montenegro specifically, I would caution them and maybe advise them to reconsider. I did from Montenegro, however, drive down to Albania, which was incredibly friendly. The capital city, Tirana, is so interesting, unbelievably affordable. I got a haircut for €4. So, you know, if you've got a big event coming up in Dublin in a few weeks,
go to Albania.
Maybe get your makeover there. Yeah. Have your holiday and have a little makeover as well while you're at it.
I suppose everywhere can't be perfect, but it does seem as if we're getting a little bit of a thirst for trying something new, for taking us through all of those alternatives. John O'Kellig, travel writer and consultant, thanks a million for joining us, and we will take a quick break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.